Auburn Opelika this morning, your news talk and information station as we talk business spotlight. And it's John Emerald Distilling. And is that the official name, or is it Distilling and Spirits? Or
it's John Emerald Distilling.
There you go. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't leaving something off.
You got it right.
And the reason being is because if you have not had the Elizabeth vodka, I suggest you do so. And the reason being, I'm a big fan. It's my own personal salty dog, I guess you call it.
Yep.
I'm a big grapefruit fan. So, but I don't do the salt, all that. It's just regular grapefruit juice.
keep it easy, right?
There you go. Keep it easy and simple, exactly. And I get away with that because then I don't have to worry about my daughter stealing my grapefruit because they don't like grapefruit. And of course, they're not going to be taking the vodka because they're not old enough to do so.
No, they better not.
So I'm good there. So let's talk about how this all got started. I told you the story before when you were in here that when y'all first opened, I was at a different company and we went and stood outside your front door. And I think it was your dad that said, well, why don't y'all come on in? And you weren't open.
Right.
But we got the full-fledged tour, man, before anybody really knew what was happening. And I thought it was just the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah. Well, me and my dad started the distillery, like you mentioned him. We started it for a couple reasons. One was that I traveled a lot with my old job. I had a subcontracting company. I did a lot of work in South America and Africa and all over North America, too. But I was only home about a week out of every month. So and we had been kicking around the idea, you know, maybe messing around with the distillery or something like that. So when I found out I was having my first child was expected, I thought, well, that's a good reason as any to get off the road and, you know, not miss these kids growing up. So, and the only way I was going to convince my wife to invest all of our money into opening a distillery. So we kind of used that as the catalyst to get rolling and kind of finally, you know, get serious about doing it. And since that was the catalyst, we themed the distillery around our family. That's why we called it John Emerald, which is after my grandfather, John Emerald Sharp, was his full name. And then Elizabeth Vodka was named for my great-grandmother, Hugh Wesley's gin for my great-grandfather, and you know, so on and so forth. And so most of our products bear the name of one of our ancestors and stuff. And we have some, and now we're going forward. We've got some products coming out in the next few years. Or we're, you know, like my one's getting named after my son, one after my daughter, that kind of thing. So hopefully by the time those are ready, they'll be a little closer to the age they're allowed to have a little bit. But anyways, yeah, so that's why we got rolling. And about the time we got started, I got started putting feelers out, and I got an internship in Scotland. So I got to go over there and work at a place called Springbank in Campbellton, Scotland, and learn the trade. That's where I did most of my hands-on distilling training and whatnot. And then my father and I went to just a whole bunch of different little seminars and workshops and anything we could find to go get more education. And then we learned enough to, we're right ready to go. Let's do this. And since I've kind of cut my teeth on single malt and scotch in Scotland, we started with the single malt whiskey. So that's kind of our first release. And then we've kept adding things all along the way. And now me and my wife run the distillery predominantly. She's there. I mean, my dad's still there some, but he gets to do what he wants to do, not what he has to do. He gets to do whatever he thinks.
See, pull the card that, hey, I was with you when you got this thing started. Now you're not bossing me around anymore. I'm just going to come and go
something
as
like that. I always joke that I'm really, if you ever need a consultant for helping you hire yourself a boss, I'm your guy. Because in my last business, I hired my dad to come on. He retired from the Air Force, and then he came on to help me run that business from the kind of run the office and stuff. And then so hired myself a boss, and then I hired my wife for this business, hire myself a boss.
You got a great track record, that's for sure. I will ask you this: how much patience does it take on your end? This isn't an overnight project.
No,
whenever you do this. This isn't something where you go, this is not your typical bigger version of somebody that goes, I'm going to start home brewing. It's like, no, there's a little bit more involved in
this. That's right. I think, and you can look at like craft distilleries are following a similar trajectory to craft breweries, but they don't open as fast for that reason, because it just takes long to build the inventory. One thing when we started the John Emerald is we want to own our production, not just our brand. And there's lots in the whiskey world, there's lots of brands, whiskey, vodkas, all spirits in general. There's lots of brands that don't own their production. They're buying bulk sourced alcohol. They're putting a label on it. It's super common in the industry, but we felt like it was important for our brand to also make it. And some of that's financially challenging because like you said, you got to make it, and you can make whiskey in, you know, about less than a month, mm-hmm. but then you got to put in a barrel, mm-hmm. and you got to just sit back and wait. And everything's an exercise in patience. So we've got two new bourbon recipes that are about roughly 2 years in, and they're coming out beautiful, but we're committed to holding them for 4 years at least. So we'll see at the 4 year mark how they are. But I'm having to talk myself back, like, let it be.
Yeah.
Super good. You know, it's coming out great, but it's going to be even better mm-hmm. in a couple of years. So, That's the tricky part. Now, certain products like vodka, Elizabeth vodka, mm-hmm. one reason we make those, and a lot of young distilleries make clear spirits because mm-hmm. they don't have to age. So all spirits, of course, are clear when they're distilled, and then their color is coming from the barrel, or like in the case of our spice rum, it's coming from the spices. But either way, those have to age. And then so things like gin and vodka kind of, you know, help keep the lights turned on while you're yeah. waiting on the whiskey. But that being said, we obviously want to make... We're not phoning it in on those either. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make the best quality we can. I mean, we're super proud of our Elizabeth Vodka. Got best vodka in the country
yep.
at the 2018 American Distilling Institute. So we're real proud of that, and it felt a little validation. Our gin's gotten several international medals at this point. And, but yeah, so
let me ask you this, because this is what I found interesting, and I think you actually gave me this explanation the day that we were taking the tour, and in my ADD mind, I've completely forgotten it. So how did you come up with the bottles for the, like, the shapes and the sizes and the, because I mean, it's, people forget when, yeah, it's great to make the product, but you got to distribute it. You got to put it
oh, yeah.
in something. And so when I saw that, because I remember seeing, especially the ones that stick out, were the Elizabeth bottles that were sitting on the counter and didn't have a label on them yet.
Okay.
Whenever we took our tour, and I was like, well, what are those? And you're like, well, those are going to be our vodka bottles. And so, I mean, this is, because as you said, it's a full production at John Emerald. It's not something where you're... I hate to throw somebody under the bus like this, but I call them the coffee bean companies that you're ordering them. Somebody else is producing everything. They're putting the label on them. Then they stick them in your store and you call them yours.
Yeah,
y'all aren't doing that.
No, that's right. That's right. We do everything. In fact, if you look at our labels, there's on the John Emerald line, we kind of treat it like two lines. We have John Emerald and then we have Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. Under the Elizabeth, we have the vodka and three different liqueurs, a fig, a pecan, and a Satsuma liqueur. Those are relatively new. And then the John Emerald line, we have everything we have. Then we have a third kind of subline called our Purveyor series. So,
okay.
With the John Emerald line, there's an animal on every bottle. And the animal is an indication that not only is it made, or it's our brand, that it's made from ground to glass. I mean, we're going straight to the farms. We're getting the ingredients directly from the ground all the way to the glass, mm-hmm. all the way to the bottle. So it's in our control, like we're processing the rare ingredient. And in most cases, with the only exception being our agave spirit, everything is also grown in Alabama. Mm-hmm. A little bit from Georgia, a little bit from Tennessee, but in a pretty tight area. So we try to keep it local beyond not just what we make, but also what we're making it from. So mm-hmm. I love that, because like we've worked with Auburn University a little bit, Ag Department. We've worked with a group called Hudson Alpha, mm-hmm. which is an agricultural company. We're testing a new barley right now that we're for our single malt. That's a new varietal of Alabama grown six row barley. That's traditionally six rows aren't suitable, but two row barley is. That's getting down in the weeds a little bit, but they've developed a six row they think will be good for you know, six rows will grow better and more abundantly. So it's desirable if you can make one that tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try it out. So it's fun like doing that. We love working with the farms directly.
Oh, of course.
And being able to just use all the ingredients. And it's also just makes it more special to me mm-hmm. that it's also made from here. And then in contrast, our kind of our subline, the Prevera series, that is blended whiskey or sourced whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
But we blend, it's our own blend, and then we're aging it in-house. So everything we make is at least a unique expression of our distillery, of John Emerald Distilling Company. But we like to be, with the Prevera series, we like to be really honest about the fact that we are sourcing that, because a lot of brands aren't that mm-hmm. honest about it. And like I said, still our unique product is just a blended product.
So, yep.
Yeah.
Jimmy Woods, we're talking John Emerald Distilling. We'll talk more about that momentarily. Got to take a quick break. Auburn Opelika this morning, your news talk and information station.
The longest continuously running radio station in the state of Alabama. WKNI.
Auburn Opelika this morning, your news talk and information station. We're talking Giant Emerald Distilling, and the one thing we haven't mentioned yet is those who have not been by, that there is a bar inside that they can partake in the product as well.
Yeah.
And is that something, when you guys got this started, you thought, hey, I mean, we mentioned keeping the lights on, but you thought, hey, we need to also implement where they can partake in the product while they're here, but also you got the stuff going in the back? Or is that something where you said, all right, we're going to do the production part, and then all of a sudden y'all woke up and said, maybe we should do something up front too?
Oh, no, the tasting room was always part of the business model. Again, because you have to wait so long on the spirits, and we're 10 years old now, so mm-hmm. we're scheming on something for the fall for a 10 year anniversary party, but we hadn't quite roped it out yet. While you're aging things, you got to grow, but we're also, because we're, as a business, we're growing, as a brand, we're growing as well. We're having to constantly fill more barrels than we're harvesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we're probably like one barrel we bottle up and sell, we're having to fill two, mm-hmm. so it's to keep up with growth, and that's financially, that's hard to sustain, because you're spending the money to make it now, waiting to making to earn it back later,
mm-hmm.
but so the taste room's a big part of that, the revenue stream to keep that rolling, and just having that, not to mention the tasting room's also like just sort of like an inanimate brand ambassador,
mm-hmm.
so someone can come and connect to the brand and see what we do and take a tour and see the production and all that, and we do a pretty small intimate, it's a small place, so it's,
yep.
Relative to other distilleries, so we do a pretty intimate tour, people get a really good behind the scenes look at mm-hmm. everything that we're doing and how we're doing it. About once a month I get somebody that takes a tour, and they're asking really specific questions. I'm like, You're trying to open a distillery,
yep,
aren't you?
Yeah, no doubt.
And that's fine. I'm like, well, that's, and then they like think like they got caught, and I'm like, no. What do you want to know? Like, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
People told me, I'll tell you, yeah. whatever you need to know. But usually, you have to tell them the truth. It's because every time you talk to them, they go, "Oh, I'm gonna make my. We're about to open." I said, "Well, what are you gonna make?" So, well, we got our granddaddy's recipe, moonshine recipe. Yeah. I'm like, okay. If I'm feeling honest, I'm like, put your money in a bucket and light it on fire.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to buy your moonshine, because nobody wants to buy moonshine legally.
I know.
That's the whole point of moonshine.
Breaking
the law a little bit.
Yeah.
You can buy it out of the sheriff's trunk.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I will say, and that's funny that you say that people do it, because we were talking off air a little bit about another distillery that just all of a sudden popped up, and I was like, you never know. They may have come through your doors and you didn't even know.
That's right. Very possible. That's right.
And so I do find that kind of thing interesting. Now, let's talk about the product a little bit, everything that you guys do offer that they can
right.
they can buy off the shelf as well, as because we talked about the single malt, we talked about the vodka, we talked about the gin. What else all do you have?
So we do some rums,
mm-hmm.
and we
spice
make
rum,
spice rum, mm-hmm. aged rum, and silver rum.
Okay.
Out in the world, we don't push the silver rum very much, just because there's not a lot of market for a mm-hmm. a premium clear rum. But we do, it is available some places, but the spice rum and the aged rum are available all over, and that's made from local sugar cane that we get down near Headland, or in Headland, I should say, mm-hmm. near Dothan. So this fall, we're pretty excited about the rum, because we acquired the equipment to process the cane in-house now. So in the past, we've gone down there and cooked the sugar cane into syrup, and then mm-hmm. we can use that sugar cane syrup to make rum with throughout the year. But now we've got the equipment where we can bring the cane back up here, press the cane locally, and are in the distillery, and then we'll be able to. And we've got the equipment to cook the syrup in house, like a syrup sop, like they do in Lodgepoke
yep.
and other places like that. So we may be doing something for people to come be a part of that.
That'd be neat.
It's a fun little, it's a fun thing to be, it's kind of a piece of history and that mm-hmm. kind of deal. But except we'll have an electric mill, not a mule walking around in a circle.
I think cool
to have the mule too.
I think they cheat a little bit and they do the mule for show, and then over there in the side they got the electric.
Yeah, that's right. A tractor runs.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right. But we'll also be able to start making this fall, which I'm excited about, is what's called rum agrico, which is when you make the rum straight from the juice.
Okay.
But you can only do that if you juice the cane in your distillery.
Okay.
Because you've got a very limited amount of time for that juice to get on in the fermenter with the right kind of yeast before Mother Nature starts to ferment it with its wild yeast,
mm-hmm.
and that'll get unpleasant real fast. So we could even drive it from Dothan to Opelika without, wow. You know, it may be a way to do it, but it'd be cost prohibitive. Mm-hmm. But it'd like freeze it or something.
And, yeah.
You know, freezing 300 gallons is no, that's not an easy task. But anyhow, so we're looking forward to that. We other stuff like on the Elizabeth line, like I mentioned, we've started making a fig liqueur, mm-hmm. a pecan liqueur, and a Satsuma liqueur. We like to say that the fig and the Satsuma are officially the best of in the world of their category because they're apparently the only of their category.
Oh, I didn't know that.
World.
How about that?
Yeah, there might be. I think there may be some fig liqueurs in Europe somewhere, mm-hmm. but you can't find them anywhere. Mm-hmm. So certainly the only one in the United States. And that's been fun to make. That's been the most popular of the three liqueurs, the fig, as far as just out in the world and who's mm-hmm. buying it. It's not listed yet, so it's not on ABC shelves yet.
Okay.
Only the one store. We have a big display at the what's called Store 4, the ABC store on Donahue,
yep.
and College. And as you walk in the door on the right, there's a big mm-hmm. John Emerald display. And it's there, but that's the only place, the only store that has it outside of the distillery. A private store in Birmingham called Linnell's carries it. And we're working on getting it in more private stores. But it's doing great in Georgia and Tennessee,
I'm sure. Yeah.
Where it's free. Just, you know, hopefully this fall, ABC will deem it appropriate to give it a listing, which we'll put it on ABC shelves.
Okay.
Like that. So there's a whole process, and it takes,
oh, I know.
It takes too long, but it is what it is. So we'll get there when we can. But it's a fun one and probably the most versatile of the fig. It was also fun making that one because mm-hmm. This was years ago when I started researching it and kind of R&Ding it. And I put out a Facebook post saying, hey, who's got a fig tree I could come pick? Because I'm trying to make a fig liqueur. And to date, I have not gotten more response to a post ever. And to the point, some people were calling me up just like red-faced mad at me because I didn't come pick their tree.
Oh, oh wow.
I'm like, well, I can't pick all the trees. A lot of trees. I mean, you know, there's only so many figs I could use
right.
and hours of the day I could spend picking figs. But we got, I mean, it's just amazing how many people were very excited to, I mean, not many people were actually mad. Mm-hmm. A couple were, but yeah, and it's we learned a lot about picking figs and how you got to watch out. The fig tree is like wasp, like fig tree.
Yeah,
you got to watch out for that because they get stung a little bit. But it makes a fun product and it's something different. And and a lot of bartenders are liking using it for mm-hmm. you know cocktails and things like that. So it's been fun making that. And then the Satsuma we're making from local Satsuma farm. That one we get mostly from Georgia. There's a big Satsuma farm called Florida Georgia Citrus, mm-hmm. and they make a Satsuma juice, and then we get their peels, mm-hmm. and then we use the peels to make the liqueur.
Man, that stuff is all absolutely fascinating. What time do doors open if people want to go by and get an after-work drink?
We open at 1 o'clock mm-hmm. every day and noon on Saturdays, and then we're open into the evenings until Sunday, Monday, until 7, and then we open till 10 most of the week, and then midnight on Friday and Saturday.
Always cool stuff. You can check them out online as well. You can get a list of all the products they have. Check out the ABC stores as well as other local liquor stores as well, and you can see the spirits right there. Man, this was fascinating. I wish we could have gone longer, but Fox News is going to cut us off. I thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
John Emerald Distilling, Fox News coming up next, and then you guys have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday morning on Auburn Opelika This Morning.